The congregation is invited to stand. We begin with the order of confession and absolution. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue with Psalm 43, printed in the bulletin. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people.
From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me.
For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me?
Why do I go about mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemy.
Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me.
Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling.
Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy.
And I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God.
Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me?
Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The congregation may be seated. The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 43, beginning at verse 16. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lay down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 4. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The congregation may stand. We sing the verse.
These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. And he began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants and went into another country for a long while. When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent another servant, and they also beat and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third. This one also they wounded and cast out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Let us kill him so that the inheritance may be ours." And they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, "Surely not." But he looked directly at them and said, "What then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." The scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on him at that very hour, for they perceived that he had told this parable against them. But they feared the people, so they watched him. So they watched him and sent spies, who pretended to be sincere, that they might catch him in something he said, so as to deliver him up to the authority and jurisdiction of the governor. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The congregation may be seated.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. No merit of my own I claim, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Righteousness alone.
The sermon this morning reflects on what Paul teaches us in Philippians chapter 3, which we just heard. We think a little bit about Isaiah chapter 43, too. To start, I reread Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you would like, again, if you'd like to follow through, the notes are on the light purple page. God has always been like this. He always plans to save his people. That's in the very character and nature of God from the beginning. In Isaiah 43, which we heard earlier, God said, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." God is always doing that. He's making a new way. He's making a way for us to get through. He's rescuing us. He's taking care of us. That is the nature of God. I was thinking about different passages of this, and so often we learn the basics, the foundational stuff about God and about ourselves from Genesis 1, 2, and 3. And I have there written down from Genesis 3, verses 9 through 15, and I'm going to read it and make a few comments, because again, we see the nature of God there, and this part of God, that he plans to rescue us. Now, Adam and Eve had already sinned, and they've eaten of the fruit. Now we pick up on verse 9. "But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' He said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?' The man said, 'The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate.' Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.' The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, you shall bruise his heel.'" God had a plan from even before when they sinned. He knew they were going to sin. He knew he was going to have to rescue them. But they were living this out in their life, and they had sinned. And they messed up. And they were afraid of God. They hid. Because they knew they had done wrong. They knew they were in trouble. And God asked them straight out, "Have you done what I told you not to do?" "Yes." "But of course, sinful humans, but she's the one who is at fault." And the woman said, "But the serpent deceived me." It really didn't matter who was going to blame whom here, because it was a problem. Now death came into them. Now they had separated themselves from the author of life. And God already had a plan for that mess. And first of all, he says to Satan, who's already been judged, because you have done this, this is what will happen to you. And because of my grace and my plan, these people, this man and this woman, and all their offspring, they don't belong to you. There's going to be enmity between this woman and you, and between her seed and yours. And she is going to have, and in the Hebrew it's a single male, his seed. She will bear a person, a son, who will crush your head. The plan is set in motion. God's intention is to rescue Adam and Eve and all their children. That's his plan from the beginning. That is his nature and character. God always has mercy. Always. God always plans to rescue his people right from the beginning. He has a plan to rescue his people. And God always calls his people to follow him. And I reflected on that. It's not necessarily really in the text itself, but it's how Jesus communicated to the disciples, didn't he? He said, follow me, follow me. He's the one with a plan. Follow Jesus. And it's clear in Scripture that God's plan from before he even created the world, from before creation, his plan is to rescue. That is his plan. And he has a very orderliness to his plan. We don't always see it or always don't always perceive it, but it's 1, 2, 3, 4. It's not 1, 3, 4, 2. And you forget to get dressed. It's not that. He has a plan, and his order is correct. But we don't always perceive that. And the people in the Old Testament don't always perceive it. And that's why, for instance, in Isaiah 43, he said, remember not the former things. Don't forget about that, nor consider things old. I'm doing something new. We're moving ahead. Don't you perceive it. We're moving ahead. I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The way God does it is against human reason, is against our sense, against our possibilities, but he's going to make a way in the desert, in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. God has a plan. And he calls us to follow his plan and not ours. This is hard for us because we think we have the perfect plan and it should go like this and this and this. And in fact, God has something that he has conceived of and known from before he created the world. St. Paul says in our text from Philippians chapter 3, he was, in today's kind of terminology, it's around, he was the elite. He was the top level of the Jews. He had a perfect ancestry, fully Jewish, fully Israelite, then from a full good tribe, Benjamin. And then his education and religious instruction was according to the ways of the Pharisees, strict, good interpretation of Scripture. And he followed it in his own human way so perfectly. He was the elite. But he said all this, his ancestry, his education, his personal behavior, all this he calls rubbish. And there's various ways of interpreting that. It could be a rubbish pile. It could be a pile of molding hay. It could be dung. It's just rubbish. He considered everything that the world would look at beautiful and pure and authentic, he saw as compared to Christ, it's rubbish. He knew that what is really important for eternity, not just for today and tomorrow, but for eternity, is not what he does, but what God does. That is what's important. He looked at all that Jesus Christ had done for him and knew that not only his sins are forgiven, but life everlasting is in Christ. And Paul knew reality. He didn't make things up. He knew no human lives forever. He did not pretend like that. He knew that his elite ancestry, he knew that his elite training and his elite life, he knew that he was still going to die. He knew that. And he knew that everything that he might be able to accomplish would just lead to death. And he knew in Christ there's something else, is that there is eternal life. That is where true life comes from. God calls Christians to be honest with ourselves. He calls us to look at our lives with his view, his holy view, and to say, look, have you worshiped me above all else always? Have you honored me? Have you honored my name? Have you honored your elders, your parents, those who are over you? Have you, okay, maybe you haven't killed somebody with a knife, but have you loved all people, not killed them with your thoughts? Have you not lusted? Have you not desired something else? Have you not stolen? Have you not told tattletales, tales, and bad things, and try to ruin your neighbor's reputation? Have you not coveted? God wants us to be honest with ourselves and to see that we fall short. Paul fell short on God's measure. By human measures, he was the elite. But Paul says here and elsewhere too, in God's measures, he even persecuted the church. He knew his life and his deeds did not add up to be holy. So also us. We have lied, or we have cheated, or we have dishonored God. And God wants us to be honest about that. And God also wants us to be honest about what he says of his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And God says, listen to that. That's the truth. Don't count on these things that you thought were done so well. Look to Christ. He is the one. He is the way. He is the seed promised of Eve to stomp on Satan's head. You cannot stomp on Satan's head. Christ has stomped on Satan's head for you. And God's plan does not fail. It does not fade away. What did Jesus say before he ascended into heaven? And lo, I am with you always, even to the close of the age. His presence with us, with his people, does not fade away or fail. They have Christians in Australia too, we know that. There's even Lutherans there. Everywhere we go, God's people is there. And if God's people aren't there, his word is with us. His spirit is with us through his word. So Paul says, everything you can count, all my elite things I have done, it's just rubbish compared to Christ. And now in Christ, I don't claim to be perfect. I haven't achieved perfection. This is still working. I still sin, but I'm looking to Christ. But he says, but what we do is we strain to focus on God's plan. And God's plan, I have three blanks there, today, tomorrow, and forever. What is God's plan today? And God has a plan for me to tomorrow. And God has a plan every day, all the tomorrows added up, going into life everlasting, forever. And God's plan, we don't see in Scripture a 1, 2, 3 like we did the chairs and the kids, 1, 2, 3, do this first today and then next. He wants us to figure that out. He wants us to know that we should get up, get dressed, have breakfast, go to church. Those 1, 2, 3s. But he says, in your 1, 2, 3s, 1, 2, 3, 4s, whatever your plan is, remember Christ. Remember who you are. Remember the way of eternal life. Remember the Ten Commandments, which is his way. In your doing school, in your doing work, in your raising family, those Ten Commandments. Remember that. And remember, when you fail, Christ is there. That is his plan, his forgiveness for us. You could come up with many ideas and thoughts on how we fail this, but I just have three little ones, short ones, written down there. As Paul said, we should not let human achievements make us proud, as if we don't need God. We need God. We shouldn't think so highly of ourselves. We need him. And we shouldn't hold on to problems and sins of the past as if these counted more than God's plan. Think of this carefully. We can do this sometimes. We can think in our lives and say, well, God, this what happened to me back then at that time was so bad, and we hang on to it. And sometimes it's our own weaknesses. We have a trouble letting go. We have trouble having that sin against us, or maybe we sinned against somebody else, or something happened. And it follows us in our minds and hearts and attitudes. But here is something God wants us to know. Look, Jesus dying on the cross, his saying is finished. That is more powerful than what happened in the past. It is more powerful. Focus on what I am doing for you in Christ Jesus. Let these good things and bad things, let these go past. Focus on Christ. Press ahead. He draws us to look at Christ. Then sometimes, too, we can become very afraid of, and I have, that's not a typo, tomorrow's plural. We don't usually say it like that. But tomorrow, and then tomorrow, tomorrow, and then tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. This was sometimes in a language they have more sense than we said, we, wemba, we. Oh, shoot. The concomba. Yeah, we, wemba, and then we, nantau, wemba, one day. So they would say tomorrow, 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 and then tomorrow's. They wouldn't say 6 months from now. They would say tomorrow, 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 and then wemba, some tomorrow, some tomorrow. We can work things out in our minds so carefully and get worried about these things so carefully that we forget all our tomorrows are in God's hands and that he has a plan from eternity to take care of us. And God says, look at the cross. Look at what Christ has done. Look at what he has achieved. I'm with you. Jesus said, I will be with you always, even to the close of the age. He has a plan. We may have to decide to move here or there, or we may have to decide, you know, to buy this or not buy this, whatever it may be. But God is working in our lives. And God has a plan in Christ Jesus to carry us through. So, God's plan. If you would like, read together at the very bottom of that second page of the notes, what's an italicized print, which is Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. We read together out loud. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We remind this to one another every day. Strive on in Christ. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we believe and know that you have a plan for our salvation and that you have carried it out in Jesus Christ. And now you are bringing his forgiveness and love and life into our lives. We ask you not to doubt that you are in control, not to behave as you don't know what's going on, not to pretend that something is greater than your love or greater than your power, but to depend upon you, and that whatever we face, you've already known we would face it. And you have prepared a way for us to come through as your people. Give us this faith with a focus on Christ and what he has done for us. All this we bring to you in his holy name. Amen. Now may the peace, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, then, we sing this hymn, 765, on the third verse. The offering may be brought forward. The congregation is invited to stand for prayer. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For deliverance from pride and self-justification, that God would rescue us from the folly of believing we are righteous because of our worthiness, and that he would strengthen our faith in the surpassing worth of Christ Jesus, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For pastors, that they would be faithful in the preaching of the word and the administration of the sacraments, and for the congregations, that they would receive these gifts in thankfulness, that Christ was rejected by sinners so that we might be welcome into his kingdom. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For parents, that God would bless them with every good gift to teach their children that salvation and life is theirs in Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For civil authorities, that God would strengthen them to discourage evil and encourage good, and that he would keep us ever mindful that it is he who shields us and lifts our heads. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the anxious and fearful, that God, who grants sleep and awakens again, would console them with his mercy and deliverance in Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in need, we remember Margaret and Charlotte, Carlin and Bill, Gary, Bryston, Keith, Brad, Don, James, Violet, Joe, Kim, Darlene, Andrew, Tasha, Mary, Sue, Norm, Pastor Shirey, Pastor Berlin, for Gail Brown and her extended family, and for the family of Loretta Kramer. And we also bring, Heavenly Father, these petitions of friends of the congregation. We ask your grace and healing upon Diana's surgery. We ask for Stacy to be with her in the homelessness and for the well-being of her family. We ask you to be with Michelle and her concern and petition for healing for Andy. We ask for Paula for your care and oversight and leading of her three children and their families, and that she has no more falls. We pray for Juanita and her upcoming surgery. We pray for Rosa and her petitions for her friends and family, Stella, Eunice, Barb, and Keith. And we pray for Cheryl, her petition for a job for her son and for strength for her in daily life. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all good works, the God who does not extinguish us like a wick, he would enlighten us in Christ and cause our light to shine before others to the glory of his name. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For repentant hearts, that we may abandon all confidence in our flesh, counting all other gains as loss, and so receive Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We pray, O Lord, in baptism you have shared Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection with us, that we might be raised from the dead. Preserve us from taking his sacrifice for granted. Encourage us to forget what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead until we attain the resurrection from the dead. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of Sabaoth adored, heaven and earth with full acclaim, shout the glory of your name. Sing Hosanna in the highest, sing Hosanna to the is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us by his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he has taught us,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
O Jesus Christ, true Lamb of God, you take the sin of the world away. O Jesus Christ, true Lamb of God, have mercy on us, Lord, we pray. O Jesus Christ, true
congregation, please rise for the general dismissal. Now may this true body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen. Amen.
Servant, depart in heavenly peace, for I have seen the glory of your redeeming grace. A light to lead the Gentiles unto your holy hill, the glory of your people, your chosen Israel. All glory to the Father, all glory to the Son, all glory to the Spirit, forever three in one. For as in the beginning, is now, shall ever be, God's triune name resounding through all eternity.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen.